Time now for the sunny side of sports with Sonny Young. Hello, Sonny.
Happy Friday, Yeheus.
Sonny, I understand it's a big weekend in football.
Yeheus, Saturday is a big day in international football. The 24-team Women's World Cup kicks off in Edmonton, Canada, and Barcelona will play Juventus for the biggest prize in European club football, the UEFA Champions League trophy in Berlin, Germany. Ladies first, the month-long Women's World Cup begins with a Group A match between host Canada and China. And that will be followed on Saturday by a game between New Zealand and the Netherlands, also in Edmonton. The 2015 Women's World Cup is the first to be played on artificial turf. And that's a controversial issue, since players say it makes them more susceptible to injuries. In fact, 84 players from 13 different national teams called artificial turf substandard and dangerous in a planned lawsuit, but they dropped the legal action ahead of the tournament. American star Abby Wambach, one of the players involved, says while the legal action ended, it marks the start of even greater activism to ensure fair treatment when it comes to women's sports. The players said FIFA and the Canadian Soccer Association would never dream of asking top men's footballers to play a World Cup on artificial turf. The sunny side of sports supports Abby Wambach and is hoping this seventh edition of the Women's World Cup will be the last to be played on artificial turf. Give them regular grass like the boys. Previous editions of the women's tournament featured 16 teams, and with the field expanded to 24, it's given new opportunities for countries to make their marks in women's football. Of the three African teams in Canada, two of them, Cameroon and Ivory Coast, are playing in their inaugural Women's World Cup. Both African sides figure to have a tough road in getting out of the group stage. Cameroon will have to contend with Ecuador, Switzerland, and reigning world champion Japan. Ivory Coast, meanwhile, is grouped with Thailand, 1995 world champion Norway, and two-time world champion Germany. The Super Falcons of Nigeria have been the most successful team in African women's football over the years. But the Nigerian women also have their work cut out for them in Canada. Their group with Australia, Sweden, and the two-time world champion United States. Let's take a quick look at the opening matches for the three African teams. Ivory Coast will play Germany in its first match on Sunday. Cameroon and Nigeria will begin their campaigns the next day on Monday. Cameroon will meet Ecuador, while Nigeria will play Sweden. Now let's go to New Zealand for an update on the FIFA Under-20 World Cup for men. The Black Satellites of Ghana defeated Panama Friday 1-0 in Auckland to finish atop the Group B table with 7 points from three matches. Emmanuel Boateng scored the goal for Ghana in the 82nd minute. Ghana will travel to Wellington, New Zealand for its next match on June 10th in the round of 16. The opponent is still to be determined. In Friday's other Group B match, Austria and Argentina battled to a scoreless draw in Wellington. The Austrians are through to the knockout stage with 5 points from three matches, while Argentina is packing its bags with 2 points from the tournament. In Group A results Friday, host New Zealand trounced Myanmar, formerly known as Burma, 5-1, and Ukraine beat the United States 3-0. The Ukrainians and the Americans are through to the round of 16 knockout stage with 7 and 6 points, respectively. In Berlin on Saturday, Barcelona of Spain and Juventus of Italy will meet in the UEFA Champions League final. Juventus defender Giorgio Chiellini has been ruled out of Saturday's big match with a calf injury suffered in training on Wednesday. Barcelona appears to have no injury concerns before the big game. Juventus is bidding for its third European title, while star-studded Barca, featuring Lionel Messi, Neymar, and Luis Suarez in the attack, is aiming for its fifth European crown.
The Voice of America.
research says African-American athletes are more likely to be portrayed negatively in the media than white athletes. The findings appear in a new book entitled How You See Me, How You Don't. VOA's Joe DiCapua reports.
Cynthia Frisbee is an associate professor at the University of Missouri's School of Journalism. As part of her strategic communication course, she challenges her students to face any biases they may have when reporting a story. Her interaction with her students eventually led her to research media coverage of male athletes and whether black and white athletes receive different treatment. Frisbee chose 155 online news articles from Sports Illustrated, The Bleacher Report, CNN, CBS Sports, Sporting News, Yahoo Sports, AOL, Sports Service, and ESPN.
Of the total stories, 68 or 43.9% were on white athletes, and 38.7% were on black.
She identified a number of themes, including crime, domestic violence, moral success or failure, cheating, lifestyle, and individual accomplishments. She begins with her findings on crime-related stories.
66.7% of the stories were on crime that dealt with black athletes, compared to 22.2% for white. When it came to domestic and sexual violence stories, 70.6% focused on the black athlete, whereas 17.6% were on white. When it came to training, work ethic, their dedication, 42.9% were focused on white athletes, where 35.7% were on black.
Frisbee gives more of her findings.
The morally successful stories, 83.3% were on white athletes, where there was only one story, which amounted to 8.3% on black athletes. Accomplishments, 20 of the stories, 58.8% were white, whereas 8 stories or 23.6% were black. On their personal lifestyle, 42.9% were white versus 33.3% black. And then athletics or skills or abilities, 46.2% were about white athletes, and then 23.1% or 3 stories were on black.
One thing her research did not reveal was the race of the reporters behind the stories.
You know, honestly, that's something that I want to do in the future. It was very, very hard to determine by their bylines. And then we tried to do that, but it was just taking an immense amount of time because, you know, we'd have to go to the newspaper site and then look up their staff.
Frisbee says she wants her students to consider whether media portrayals of African Americans are reflected in how they report.
When it comes to blacks, there are 3 typical portrayals that we find in the media: criminal, entertainer, or athletic.
She says a 2013 study shows many Americans believe black athletes are criminals. She questions whether that perception stems from modern TV, films, and other media.
A lot of times people would say when I was talking about my research, well, isn't it true that athletes are more aggressive? And I went to the crime rate and statistics numbers and was, again, a little surprised to find that athletes in general, regardless, commit fewer crimes than the regular male in their same age group.
She also says media portrayals of African Americans may even affect how her students react to her.
So, for example, I'm an African American professor, and I will have students that sometimes the only experience or contact that they've had with someone like me is through the media. And you would be surprised at how much media consumption plays a role in our attitudes and our formation of particular kinds of stereotypes.
One such portrayal of African American, she says, is found in rap music.
We know white suburban boys love rap music. What if you see these images and then you get to me, which I violate all of that? How do you respond to that disparity and discrepancy of what you've come to know through the media, and now you've met somebody that doesn't fit? Do you discount her?
The University of Missouri journalism professor says her research is just a first step. While she hopes it raises awareness for today's reporters, it also raises many questions about how stereotypes are formed and affect behavior. Joe DiCapua, VOA News, Washington.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
In Game 1 of the National Basketball Association Finals, the Golden State Warriors defeated the visiting Cleveland Cavaliers 108-100 in overtime. After an eight-day break, the NBA's top teams and biggest stars put on quite a show in the western U.S. city of Oakland, California. Golden State star Stephen Curry, the league's most valuable player, had 26 points and 8 assists, while Cavaliers star LeBron James fired in 44 points, a career high for him in the NBA Finals. LeBron missed 20 shots from the field, though, including a long jumper at the end of regulation. The Warriors took control in the overtime period, while the Cavaliers missed their first 8 shots in the extra session. Golden State is in the NBA Finals for the first time in 40 years. Cleveland, meanwhile, is hoping for its first major professional sports championship in 51 years. Yes, the Ohio City has waited a long, long time. Speaking after the loss, Cavaliers coach David Blatt says his team will need to do more around LeBron in Game 2, which will be played Sunday night in Oakland, California. Remember, VOA basketball fans, the NBA Finals are best of 7, so the first team to win 4 games will be crowned the champion. I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and that's the sunny side of